Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 172, and we are recording on Monday, March 4th. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well today. It is a Monday. How are you doing?
Well, the weather is getting warmer. It has hit the 70s recently in Chicagoland. I know very well that we are not out of the woods yet when it comes to winter. Like, almost every year we get a freak snowstorm in April. Like, I'm aware of how these things work. But overall, we've had a very, very, very mild winter. And yeah. I'm one of the few people that celebrates the beginning of daylight savings time, which is coming up this coming Sunday. And I know we quote unquote lose an hour, but it's lighter out for later in the day. And that to me is like the true sign that we have made it through winter. I don't care how cold it gets. I mean, I do care. I don't want the universe to hear that. I do actually care, universe. But once we get to daylight savings time, it's not dark at 4 o'clock anymore, and I just feel renewed and energized. And like, hey, if it's nice out, I feel like I might have the motivation to go for a walk after I get home from work. So that to me is the true sign of winter ending. So I'm doing all right.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. We have had, now granted, last week we did have tornadoes that touched down, thankfully not where I live, but where I work, it got pretty dicey for a little bit. There were tornadoes in nearby counties, and that's very unusual for February. So that side of it isn't great. And my allergies aren't doing well, so I'm trying to hold off on any sneezing fits while we record. But the days are getting longer. And I'm like, oh, I can breathe again.
I am excited. We had a review recently. It was very kind, and they mentioned enjoying the updates of our fur children.
Oh, good.
And so I'm about to update all the corgis. So I was able to take the corgis out for one of the first times this spring today. And so they enjoyed that for the most part. Gwendolyn has a bad habit of trying to go greet people. And she is able to escape between the porch railings.
Oh,
so
no.
She's now on a long lead. And she keeps barking at this older man who walks around the neighborhood with his walker. And I'm like, honey, no, we're not going to do that. Ma'am uses a mobility aid sometimes. We don't do that. We need to have like a lesson. I feel like I'm trying to gentle parent chaotic corgi, and it's just not working. Oh, but
yeah,
you know, we're having a good time. We love spring. I've been listening to all sorts of nonfiction audiobooks. I don't necessarily have a currently reading update for today, but I do have an update. And that is that I've joined TikTok recently. I've been enjoying my time there. Warm welcome. So thank you to anyone who's over there. But I found Rincy has a new TikTok channel. And we all know Rincy.
Yes.
OG co-host. Red or Dead. So I will include the link to her TikTok channel and her BookTube channel if you don't follow. She has an excellent BookTube channel. I'll include those down below, but I thought that was worth an update.
Oh, yes. Sure. No, that's fantastic. I know that Rincy's been doing BookTube for a long time. Like, that predated Red or Dead. But yes, if you are longtime listeners, I know you remember Rincy. She and I were the OGs for Red or Dead. And yes, I have not my TikTok algorithm has not put her in front of my face, but I feel like at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and follow her now that I know that she's on there, but I feel like it would have only been a matter of time before TikTok was like, oh, you might be interested in following this person. Yes. Yes, I am. And yes, Kendra, now that I started following you on TikTok, I'm like, it's like every other video is one of yours. And I don't post anything on TikTok. I only lurk. So there's no point in following me. I don't even like, I just text them to people that I text videos that I find funny to people. But the one that you sent to me of you showing the corner of your hardcover copy of The Good House by Tananarive Reddy, that one of the corgis had gotten into, I'm like, oh, my heart.
Yes. Yes. I did a little video featuring the corner of the first edition of the hardcover of The Good House. And I remember it happened. I can't remember if we had just started, if I just started on Red or Dead or was a little bit beforehand, but I was in a huge dilemma of whether or not to like try to replace it. Like it's really hard to replace, you know, it's out of print because it's a hardcover. Like anyway, it made for a great TikTok. But yeah, I do lots of stuff with the corgis. I've been just playing around to figure out how it works. You know, I've worked in bookish media for almost 10 years now, and it's been fun to learn a social media platform that I haven't made content for before. And so that's been fun. So happy to see anyone over there. And I feel like I caught Rincy's channel on the ground floor because she doesn't have that many followers yet. So
yeah, probably just either new or I don't know. Can you do a private TikTok account? I have no idea.
You can.
I was going to say, I stopped. I'm like Twitter before TikTok. It was like Facebook, Twitter. And like, that's it. I don't even do Instagram. But yeah, so, well, that's exciting. That's so cool.
Lots of updates.
Yes. I will say I have, as has been a recurring theme for a long time now, I've kind of been doing a lot of vegetating on the couch. Have been doing some audiobooks, but not anything mystery thriller related. So why don't we go ahead and jump in? And you've got a book club newsletter update.
Yes. So we have our book club update. So there is now a book club newsletter from Book Riot called In the Club, and it is there to deliver recommendations of the best books to discuss with your book clubs. If you've been part of any book clubs, you know not every book is a book club book, because you could either all hate it, you could all love it. Either one of those does not make for a good book club book. You want a discussion. And so that is what In the Club is here to provide. And it's going to have like new books, old books, like all different kinds of interests. Like if you're in a cookbook club or like something like that. And also it seems to be having some book club friendly recipes to help with like if you need snacks for it. I recently made a chicken soup recipe for my In Real Life book club yesterday, and it went down. So I'm sure there'll be all sorts of recipes, because as we know, food is a must. Food is must. And if you are a paid subscriber of In the Club, you'll get even more recommendations plus community features. In other words, you can chat with others about their great book club picks. So to sign up, head over to bookriot.com/in the club. That is bookriot.com/in the club.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our first sponsor. All right, so if you are new to the show, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We're so excited to have absolutely everyone who continues to put us in your ear holes every 2 weeks. So like we said at the top of the show, we talk about mysteries and thrillers and suspense and anything that falls under that gigantic umbrella. It could be true crime. It could be movie adaptations. It could be author read-alikes, award news, subgenres that we haven't talked about in a while, or brand new subgenres, because every time I look at anything bookish related, the word romanticy keeps coming up. So there are all kinds of subgenres and sub-subgenres that are being created just all over the place. So if it's mysterious and suspenseful, it's probably fair game. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that this is the point of the episode where we always put out a call to our listeners to let us know what you would like to hear more of and topics that you think would be interesting for us to discuss. It's a great way for us to know what you want to hear when you tune in every other week. And it's a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons, think of ideas or try new ideas that we hadn't thought of ourselves. It's been a really great setup, and it really does help us plan a lot of the episodes that we record each year. So if you have any ideas or show suggestions, you can reach out to us via email or social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes, so don't worry about getting it down now. We just always mention it at the beginning of the show to get the creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have an idea and you just want to say hi, that's also fantastic. We love hearing from our listeners. And if you haven't yet and you enjoy listening to us, leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us. And with that, now for the news segment to kick us off, like this is like fresh, right out of the oven news. Because literally the Audi Awards were announced tonight on the day of this recording. Like, when Kendra was looking for the link, I was like, oh, did they just announce the finalists? And I'm like, oh no, the awards are happening today.
Yes.
So this is fresh news. And so obviously the Audi Awards cover just about everything in the world of audiobooks, but of course they feature mysteries and thrillers, and in fact have two separate categories for mystery and thriller. And so the winner for thriller and suspense was All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby, which both Kendra and I have listened to and have gushed about on the show. And this one was up for best audiobook of the year, period. It did not win, but the fact that it was nominated just emphasizes how amazing this book is.
Yeah. Adam Lazar White is a phenomenal narrator, and he just does such a great job. I believe he's narrated all of S.A. Cosby's books, mm-hmm. and I just love anything that he performs.
Yeah. He has a very cinematic narration style without being over the top. It just hooks you in. He does great characterization without going over the top for any of his characters. You'd believe every word that he reads. It's amazing. And then the winner for the mystery category was Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Q. Sutanto, which I have not listened to, but I am familiar with Jesse Q. Sutanto. She did the Dial A for Aunties. Mm-hmm. And this is not part of that series, but I believe it's, I don't want to, since I haven't read it or listened to it, it seems like it's cut from a similar cloth. Kind of the amateur mystery with a touch of humor. So that one, I know that the book came out, it was getting a lot of rave reviews, and apparently the audiobook is excellent as well, since it won an Audi Award.
Yes, it's performed by Eunice Wong, who performed one of my favorite audiobooks of the year, which is The Land of Milk and Honey by C. Pam Dung. And this is, she's just phenomenal. I feel like she's coming up, you know, obviously she just won an Audi Award. She's up and coming and she's so incredibly talented. And I'm so glad to see her appreciated as she should be. So I was really excited when I saw her name because she's becoming a fast favorite of mine. So two favorites won. I feel like I've won. You
know? Yeah, there's a special sense of validation when one of your favorite books wins an award. You're just like, oh, I backed the right horse on this one.
Exactly.
I have good taste. More people should listen to me. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, I feel it. I feel it. So our other bit of news is really just something in passing, is for people to keep an eye out for. And we'll follow up next episode. But the Women's Prize for Fiction and the Carol Shields Prize are announcing their long list on International Women's Day, which is March 8th. And so both of these prizes feature women and non-binary writers. And the Women's Prize for Fiction also has a nonfiction branch. Now that's news here. But the Women's Prize features books in fiction from a wide range of genres. So there could be a mystery, thriller, or horror book on the list. So I'm crossing my fingers. They usually, you know, do a fair job of looking at genres. And the Carol Shields Prize is only in its second year. And that covers books published in the United States and Canada. And they feature a wide range of different books as well. So it is going to be a great time. It's going to be a very busy day on the 8th. I will be at a conference and I will be checking my phone frequently. I'm very excited for the long list to be announced. And if you want to check out the Women's Prize for nonfiction, it doesn't include any mystery and thrillers that I'm aware of. It might have some true crime on it. So you can go check that out. And I will include all the websites and relevant links in the show notes.
All righty. So let's go ahead and jump right into this episode, which I know we've done versions of this in the past, but this is always a good one to bring up again, because I feel like it's just, you know, this is the topic that just keeps on giving, and that is underrated favorites. Because as every bookish person can attest to, I mean, we all have our favorite books. And then we have those books that we're like, why haven't more people just figured out how amazing these books are? These exactly. are the ones, if you work in a bookish industry, or even if you just have a lot of friends and family that you recommend books to, these are the ones that you're like, okay, you probably haven't heard of this one, but this is why you need to read it. I love having these in my back pocket. And it always makes me, I feel like, you know, You can recommend the bestsellers and, you know, the books that are getting all of the book club attention. But when you can pull a book out and be like, okay, this is why you need to read this, and you probably haven't heard of it, and then the person comes back and goes, oh my gosh, I loved it, I'm like, oh, it's such a satisfying feeling.
It really is. It really is. And you know, I don't think I've ever done this theme before either. I think this is new since I've joined. So,
well, there you go. It's time to resurrect this topic. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off then?
All right. So I picked for my first book, Shelter by Jung Yoon. This is her debut novel. And I used to have a podcast called Reading Women. And this was our very first Reading Women Award winner. And I absolutely loved this book. And it features a Kyung, who is a Korean American guy who's just trying to make life work. He and his wife have a house that they can't afford, so they're looking at selling it to try to find something more affordable. So he and his wife and the realtor are touring the house to kind of get an assessment so she can, like, you know, prep to try to sell it. And a naked woman shows up in the backyard of the house, and he looks over, and Kang realizes that it's his mother in the backyard. So from there, we learn what happened to his mother. We learned out where on earth his father is. And we quickly learn in the very first couple chapters that he has a terrible relationship with his parents. So it's really like trying to figure out, like, what on earth is going on? I felt like that way through the whole book. But one of the things I think that's very special about this book, it is very character driven. As we all know, I am a sucker for a character driven a mystery thriller. And so Kyung is such an interesting character, really pushes you at what is likable. Should you even care if the main character is likable? And it's so good. There are content warnings here for sexual assault and violence. So just as a heads up, there are some descriptions in here I still can't believe it was Jung Yoon's debut, and I still think about it all the time. Have you read this book? I think you have. We've talked about it.
I have not. No, okay. I have heard you talk about it several times. but no, I have not. I have not yet read this one.
Well, it's just so good. It's so good. And it was really funny because this book has a very distinct cover, and two books came out with almost the exact same cover, and this was one of them. So sometimes people be like, oh, I feel like I've noticed that one before. Is it this book? I'm like, no, that's the other one with almost the exact same title. It's covered, different title. Anyway, that was just bonus. I'd love to learn more if people have read this one as well, but definitely go check it out. I read it in one sitting. So just as a heads up, you might not get off the couch when you start reading it. But that is Shelter by Jung Yoon.
All right. So my first pick is one that I read for the first time for this show, was not expecting to love it as much as I did. And yeah, even just thinking about this book now, I'm just remembering again just how powerful it was. And the book is called Her Name is Night by Yasmin Angu. And this book is it's a debut novel. It's the first in the series. And this book just blew me away. I remember picking it because I think it was Nezra and I were doing an episode where we were picking books based on our favorite mystery and crime TV shows. And I picked a couple of books because for Killing Eve, because I had been watching that with my husband. And I loved, and this is from someone who doesn't usually go for like espionage, spy, assassin type of novels. And both of the books that I picked just knocked me head over heels with how much I loved them. And so this was one of the books. And so in this story, and I believe it's part of a trilogy, at least looking at the other books that she has written. The first one is Her Name is Night. Second one is They Come at Night. And the third one is It Ends with Night. So I'm guessing It Ends with Night is the last one in the trilogy. But anyway, so in this first book, we have Nina Knight. And she was born in Ghana, and she was stolen from her village when she was a young girl. And she is now an elite assassin for this business syndicate called the Tribe. And their goal is to support and promote basically Black excellence around the world. And so she is on assignment in Miami, and she has she's been tasked to kill someone who she knows and has come to respect. And so she's trying to reconcile her loyalties to the Tribe with, you know, with this assignment. And then while she's in the middle of doing this, she learns that there is a new member of the Tribe who she recognizes as the person who razed her village to the ground when she was taken away from there, murdered her family, sold her as a victim of human trafficking. And she's going, wait a minute, no, he's part of this same organization. No, this man has committed absolute atrocities. And so now she's struggling with the temptation of vengeance. This book, holy guacamole. It has such a powerful emotional punch. I was literally tearing up at the end of the book. It comes with some powerful trigger warnings for sexual violence, human trafficking, war crimes, like that type of thing. What the author describes is harrowing and bleak, but it's not gratuitous. It's like there is a purpose behind her showing the reader, you know, the realities of living in this type of community and what happens to some of these communities. And then juxtaposed with her current role as, you know, a very high-ranking assassin, essentially. It is done so well. And this book just knocked my socks off, blew me away. All of the different metaphors, analogies, aphorisms, whatever you want to call them. It just was incredible. And this is, again, this is a book that I can say, you know, as someone who doesn't gravitate towards assassin type stories, this one was amazing, which I feel like sometimes carries more weight than if you're, you know, if you read all of these types of books. But this one was incredible. And the cover is gorgeous. Like, the cover is just a work of art. Like, you have to click on the link to see the book. It's beautiful. I feel like I could just go on and on about this. But I will stop myself because I'm going to start to ramble. I will also point out, and I know you have to take Goodreads reviews with a pretty hefty grain of salt, but this book has over 4.3 stars on Goodreads. People seem to agree this book is phenomenal. The author also was the recipient of the 2020 Eleanor Taylor Bland Award for Emerging Writers of Color. And after reading this book, I can go, yeah, I can see why. Yes, I can't remember. I don't talk about this book a ton on the show, but I have mentioned it a few times. Have you read this one, Kendra? Or
I haven't.
Or have I talked about it since you have joined the show? I cannot remember.
I believe so.
Okay. That's what I thought. I feel like every year and a half, you know, it'll pop up. But yeah, it's incredible. And go read it. It's called Her Name is Night by Yasmin Angle. All right. And then before I pass it back off to you, Kendra, let's go ahead and take a pause for our second sponsor. All right, take it away, Kendra.
All right, so my next pick as underrated book is House of Cotton by Monica Brashears. And so I feel this book is underrated because a lot of people do not understand the cultural context in which that it's written. So this book is set in Knoxville, Tennessee in present day, and it's about 19-year-old Magnolia. Her grandmother has recently died. Her grandmother basically, you know, raised her, and her grandmother's name is Mama Brown. And so she recently died. And so Magnolia's working at this gas station when this random man shows up named Cotton, and he offers her a job. And this job is to do Zoom calls with people who have lost a loved one. And it kind of first starts out as like photos where she would dress up. There's like a professional makeup artist and stylist there, and they dress her up as a lost loved one. And it's sort of like they're able to talk to that person again. Like, it just keeps getting more and more extravagant and unbelievable. And that's part of the story. Like, this whole story is like based in Appalachian, specifically Black Appalachian folklore and culture and folkways. And you see a lot of these stories pop up. You see a lot of these ideas, and there's a lot of like spiritual elements. It's almost like how Jesmyn Ward will have some supernatural elements in her stories. Like, you could just see the Southern vibes, the gothicness of this beautiful story. And when I go into Goodreads reviews, again, I feel like we should take them all with a grain of salt, but a lot of people have no earthly idea why the story is unfolding the way it is. It's not supposed to be believable. I just read one just now that was like, this story is too unbelievable. I kept forgetting that it's in modern day. Well, that's sort of like what it's like to be in Appalachia. Sometimes it feels a little different, but also this story isn't supposed to be believable. It's almost like a folktale, like an American folktale, in a weird, creepy sort of way, but in the best ways. And so if you like stuff that's, I don't know, like dark and demented, shall we say, something that's creepy and you feel stuff crawling on your skin when you're reading it, this is it. Just as a content warning, there is sexual assault in this story, and also the loss of miscarriage. And so just as a heads up, that is in the story. But it is just an unforgettable read. And I wish more people kind of understood the cultural context so they could like fully embrace the weirdness that is this book.
Yeah, and I think that is, like, for me, that's helpful to know going into a book that it's not going to be, you know, a traditional type of story, or it's not going to have a linear narrative, or, you know, there's something about it. Because I, you know, a lot of us go into reading with, like, these different, you know, types of expectations. And so if we're told, or at least for me, if I'm told ahead of time, like, okay, you're going to have to alter this a little bit, I feel like it can sometimes be easier for me to, like, you know, to be like, oh, okay, like, I've got to alter my course a little bit. And it just, it sets me up for success a little bit more. And I mean, you just said the two magic words, dark and demented.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people forget that American folklore is a thing. Like, it is very much a cultural element. A lot of us, unfortunately, have lost it as we've moved more to a contemporary type storytelling style. But there are all sorts of folklore. That's where we get, like, Babe, the Giant Ox, and, you know, Paul Bunyan. Is it like Henry the Steel Driving Man? Like, we have all sorts, Johnny Appleseed, we have all sorts of folklore. And that is really where I feel like this is drawing from the most. And she adds her own little, you know, sinister twist to it. You know, don't get me wrong, you don't have weird Zoom calls with your dead loved ones and not have a weird temporary twist.
Not have something happen.
You know? But I found it really, really interesting. And I just wish more people just vibed with how weird it was in understanding and embracing what it is as opposed to what they are trying to force it to be in their brains. So that's why I think it's underrated and why more people should narrate it. Wow. I have been in audiobook land. More people should read it. Bless. But anyway, so definitely go check out House of Cotton by Monica Brashears, which should be coming out in paperback soon. It came out last year in hardcover. So, but the cover is amazing. It's like an anatomical heart and a little birdhouse looking thing.
Yes. And in fact, that was the cover that came to my mind when you mentioned it. And I looked at it. I'm like, yep, that's the one. And I'm like, I ordered that for the library. Way to go, Katie.
Yeah, it's really one of my most surprising books of 2023 and how delightful it is. And I feel like if people would read a wider range of Black literature, particularly Southern Black literature, like, it just, it makes sense. So so good. So good. All right. Anyway, your next is your turn, Katie. What's your next underrated?
All right. So this is another one that I don't talk about a ton on the show, but it is one of my absolute favorite psychological thrillers, and that is Mother Mother by Corin Zailkas. This book came out like in 2013, I think. I read it shortly after I read Gone Girl. And this book, it's not actually this book, I would put this in a very similar category to Sharp Objects by Gillian Flynn. If you liked Sharp Objects, you will like Mother Mother. But it was the first book that I had read since reading Gone Girl, which, again, just knocked me off of my feet when I've read it for the first time. This was the first book that I read after that that evoked kind of similar emotional feelings, or at least that feeling of, holy cow, I cannot believe what I'm reading. If very realistic psychological suspense involving families or mothers is triggering for you, don't read it. I believe there's a brief, there's a trigger warning for, it's not miscarriage. I think it's an abortion, but, the way it's described is, it can be triggering. But anyway, so this is a book that I would actually, like, I pulled up the Goodreads page for this to just refresh my memory on some of the plot details. And the plot summary does not do this book justice. And I will explain why. Because it talks about Josephine is like, she has her family under control. She's the mother, she's the matriarch of the family. But while Josephine is absolutely at the center of this story, none of the story is told from her perspective. You get a picture of who she is from the different characters in the story, primarily her two children and her oldest daughter's diary entries. Her oldest daughter, Rose, has run away And so I believe she has like journal entries sprinkled throughout. And then she has her daughter. I believe her daughter is Violet. And yes, Violet, who's the middle child, and then Will, who's the youngest son. And the story begins, Violet has been turning to hallucinogenic drugs in an effort to kind of cope with everything that's going on in her family. And at the beginning of the story, Violet has allegedly attacked Will and been sent to a psychiatric ward. But the event has prompted a visit from Child Protective Services. And this perfect facade that Josephine has been trying to control and maintain is slowly starting to unravel. And what this book does so brilliantly is in the structure where Josephine is one of the most chilling characters I have ever read. And we don't spend a single minute in her head. We get that picture from everyone else around her. And the act of putting the pieces together and seeing little by little the character that comes out is so effective. And it is just bone chilling, absolutely bone chilling. This is a very psychological novel. Very much a novel where you are questioning, like, you want to talk about unreliable narrators. Holy cow. It is just astonishing. And I cannot believe that this book did not get more attention when it was published, easily up there with Gillian Flynn's writing. And the other thing about the story is that sometimes these types of stories can become very melodramatic, or they, like, especially nowadays, with the real life example of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and the murder of her mother, like that type of story. Nowadays, the stories either feel like they're trying to be a fictionalized version of that story, or outdo it in terms of sensationalism. And it just kind of starts to go off the rails a little bit. This book never like deviates from this chillingly realistic story. And in fact, I was describing this to one of my friends and she was like, she's like, not that my mother's totally like that, but there's enough similarities that I think I'm going to skip this one. And that's why I put out the trigger warning ahead of time. But yes, this book is just incredible. I will happily hand this book to everyone who said that they like Gillian Flynn or Gone Girl or Sharp Objects. And I'm like, oh my good gracious, you need to read this book immediately. I've hit the point again where I'm going to just start rambling if I don't cut myself off. If you are a fan of psychological thrillers, this is dark, demented, and disturbing to an amazing level. Oh,
I mean, it looks terrifying.
It's terrifying. And I've always been darkly fascinated with these types of stories. And I like to think that I'm able to do that because my mother was not like that at all. So I can read this and go and not have like, wow, this is bringing up some traumatic memories. So I fully understand that this book may not be everyone's cup of tea, so to speak. It will not let you go. You are going to feel all of the emotions. And yeah, you're going to need to like take a hot shower afterwards because you're just like, ugh, so good. Okay. And again, that is Mother Mother by Corin Zailkas.
Well, those are our four picks. And now it's time for new book releases. Should I start?
Yeah, why don't you start?
All right. So my pick is Finding Sophie by Imran Mahmoud. And he's actually a barrister in the UK. And he has written this story about Harry and Zara. And their entire lives revolve around their daughter, Sophie. So one day, you know, she just doesn't come home. And so After 6 weeks, the police are no longer closer to finding her than when they started. And so they really, really struggle to figure out what to do. So they've gone to every house on their block except for number 210 across the street, whose occupant, it says, refuses to break his silence. And so it's this idea of these two parents in this intense amount of grief, desperate to find their daughter. What lengths will they go to find out what happened?
Ooh,
I know. It sounds so creepy. And that's Finding Sophie by Imran Mahmoud.
All right. And then my new releases pick is Murder Road by Simone St. James, who has kind of become the reigning queen of like thriller, true crime, supernatural crossovers. And so this is her latest one. It takes place in the mid-90s, and April and Eddie are looking for the small resort town where they're going to be spending their honeymoon. And so then they stop to help on this kind of deserted road when they spot what appears to be a lone hitchhiker. Obviously, this is not a good idea. After the hitchhiker gets into their car, it's not until after she gets in the car, they see that she has blood seeping from underneath her jacket. And then all of a sudden there is a truck barreling down the road towards them. And so the hitchhiker ends up dying at the local hospital. But now April and Eddie find themselves in the police cross in the police officer's crosshairs because unexplained murders have been happening all along that road for years. They've never had any suspects. And now the cops are like, oh, hey, these two people seem like they are prime suspects. But then April and Eddie start to dig into the history of the town and the road because they're trying to like, hey, this isn't us. Something else is going on. And they find that something perhaps supernatural may be at work here. I know. Oh, I have read one of Simone St. James' books, and it was so satisfying. It just hit that perfect blend of just of plot and vibes. Like it just, she just has such a knack for finding that sweet spot. So I am very excited about this one. And again, that is Murder Road by Simone St. James. It is out on March 5th, so it will be out by the time you listen to this episode. And then before we close, it would be ethically, morally, spiritually wrong of me to not mention that The Hunter by Tonda French is also out on March 5th. Before we started recording, I told Kendra that I feel like at this point we talk about Tonda French so much that at this point listeners should just kind of like whenever she has a new book that releases, people should just be like, I sense a disturbance in the force. But in case your Tonda French spidey senses have not been honed to that degree, her latest book, The Hunter, is out this week. It is a continuation from her previous book. It is not, which I think was The Searcher. Does that sound right?
I think that sounds right.
Okay. The names start to blend together for me. It's not part of the Dublin Murder Squad series. I do sincerely hope she goes back to that. But yes, it is a sequel to her last book, out on March 5th. Go pick yourselves up a copy if you have not done so already.
You know, happy Tonda French Day to all who celebrate.
To all who celebrate, yes. I will be celebrating International Tonda French Day tomorrow.
Well, that's our show, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. And of course, a wonderful thank you to Caitlin Brame, who always makes us sound great, even our fur gremlins, who are often in the background of the show. But you all love that, so that's wonderful. We love that for everyone. For show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out all of Book Riot's podcasts. You can go to bookriot.com/listen, or you can just search Book Riot in your podcast player of choice. If you'd like to send us an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me, Kendra, on Twitter and Instagram at KD Winchester, or now on TikTok at Kendra Winchester. You can find Katie on Twitter at KT_library lady. And we will talk to you all next time.
Bye.